What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Mind Over Macros podcast. As always, I am your host, Mike Milner. Today's episode of the Coach's Compass, I have three things that I want to talk about. Three very important topics. One, I'm kind of surprised that I have to talk about this, but I do, because I saw a couple of examples. One was like a firsthand example, and one was a heard it through the grapevine example of a concept that I think coaches and business owners are missing. And if you're missing this, then quite frankly, you're not going to make it. Really, this is like foundational. This is like telling a client that protein is important. If we're not on the same page with that, it's going to be really difficult to see some progress. Or like, you know, protein and walking, or you know, we're basically talking about foundational things. I apologize if my voice sounds a little bit raspy. I was traveling yesterday, got back from Vegas, the Real Coaches Summit. Shout out to Aram. I can't imagine putting on an event like that. I've only done workshops before with a small group. I guess if you take it back to 2020, I did my first neurotype certification in person. I have 50 coaches for that. So I think that's the biggest event that I've ever put on. And even with a 20 person workshop or a 50 person certification, doing an in-person event and coordinating all of that, let alone a two-day event with 250 coaches, and I don't even know how many speakers, like 20 some speakers. Man, I have massive amounts of respect for Aram for the event that he put on. And if you haven't gone to the Real Coaches Summit, this was the second year. I'm sure he'll be doing it again next year. If you haven't been, it's just a really cool event because it's very pure. It is like, that's the best way that I could describe it. It's just very pure and authentic in the sense that everyone's there to learn. Everyone is there to learn from each other, to connect, to build relationships, to network. And that's it. There's no ulterior motives. Nobody is pitching or selling, or nobody is doing other things that just distract from the point, which is to learn and to connect and to help each other. And it was just really nice to see that all in one place, where there is this desire of coaches to learn from each other, to connect with each other, to support each other, to pick each other up, all that stuff. And then the educators and the talk, you know, the presenters, again, just genuinely trying to impart some wisdom and to offer assistance any way they can. Again, like zero, you know, ulterior motives or anything else. And what I like about the way that Aram puts this event together is that it is designed in a way for everyone to get a little bit uncomfortable, right? Like, I think typically what happens at different events is you have the event itself, but then you've got like meals separately, and like, you know, then there's like an event only for this group of people, but not for this group of people. And it kind of separates everyone. And you kind of find that there's like little cliques that are forming. And you almost feel, I remember being at events being like, when can I sit at the cool kids table, right? Like, when am I going to be in the cool kids table? And I really like the fact that he does all the meals together with everybody. I like the fact that he does, you know, happy hours together with everybody. Then there was, you know, a little comedy show with everybody. It's like, it's just kind of forcing everyone to get uncomfortable and to meet new people. As an introvert myself, that is tough. Like, even I had a table there as a sponsor, and you know, I'm definitely not the type of person that's just going to go up to people and like start up conversations, because that's very uncomfortable for me with people that I don't know. But it kind of forces you to be in that environment. So then it's like, well, I see somebody that I know that's talking to somebody that I don't know. So there's an easy way to get an intro and to meet new people and things like that. Anyway, I just have a massive amount of respect for what it takes and what goes into putting on an event like that. And I thought it was a really successful event. Hopefully he feels the same way. I'm sure he's riding the recovery right now, as you know, it's a lot, and a lot of adrenaline, a lot of you know, there's a lot of nerves and anxiety and hoping it'll go well. But I'm guessing that he's going to get rave reviews as he did last year. And I'm sure that'll continue to grow. I think from last year, there was like 150 coaches. This year it was 250. I'm sure next year will be even bigger. And so if you haven't been, I highly recommend you put that on your calendar as just an event that's worthwhile. I'm not a huge event person. Just for the fact that I find it to be either a big pitch, like you're just being sold a bunch of stuff, or it's, you know, you walk away with a lot of notes without much action. I think with this, you know, it is heavy on education, but I think the value in an event like this is the networking, the connections, the relationships, the time together, and just like feeling, you know, understood and like you're not alone in this whole journey. So anyway, shout out to Aram. Circle this event next year. It'll probably be around the same time. So March of 2025, I'm guessing. I don't know for sure, but that would be my best guess. And if you were there and you came up and said hello, that is really meaningful to me, because again, I'm more reserved. I'm a little bit awkward in social situations, if you couldn't tell. So anybody who came up and introduced themselves, it is greatly appreciated. But yeah, got back last night. It's a long flight from Vegas to Philadelphia, so I'm definitely feeling the lack of recovery right now. Although I have to say, I got to bed early each night. I was pretty impressed with myself in that I did not stay up late. You know, I was in bed at a good hour. I slept relatively well, but you know, it's just the travel wear and tear, and then having lots of conversations. And then I think I did three interviews. I did like two full podcasts and one interview, and then one like smaller interview. So I guess it was four total. And then a lot of just talking. And I'm feeling the effects on my voice. So I apologize for that. Anyway, one of the things, so I'll start with this first topic. One of the things that is abundantly clear that I don't, this is the thing that I'm surprised that more people aren't aware of, is we talk a lot about marketing. I talk a lot about marketing. And obviously as a coach, you have to understand marketing if you want to get new clients and things like that. The one thing that is important to remember is that once somebody pays you, like once somebody enrolls and becomes a client, it's the product and the service that becomes the marketing. Like, think about it. Once you've gotten somebody to sign up and enroll, and they've now paid you money to be their coach or for a product or for a service, it doesn't matter. This applies across the board. The marketing from there is the actual product, service, delivery, fulfillment, how you treat them, their experience. And it's a little bit surprising that a lot of people, I shouldn't say a lot, because this, again, this was just a couple examples. I'll share the examples, but it's surprising that this is overlooked, that we spend so much time on this like acquisition style of marketing that we forget about the fulfillment style of marketing. Now, I'm going to first share my experience in having launched The Collective, which is my monthly done for you email service that also includes all of your CRM needs. So done for you email, you get all of our email templates, landing page templates, challenge emails, you know, literally all of the sequences that there's too many resources to list, but it also includes all of your CRM needs. So a lot of the coaches that are joining are recognizing that they can save a ton of money because they're usually paying a lot for a CRM in and of itself, but then they're also paying for things like Calendly and DocuSign, or using like forms, Typeform, whatever. And the CRM that's built into the collective, it's built on top of Go High Level. So it has all of the functionality of Go High Level. So you can do all in one place. You can do your emails, you can do text, you can do forms, you can do calendar, you can do landing pages and sites, you can do communities, you can do courses. It literally has everything all in one place. And the collective is $97 a month. So it's cool because when you sign up for something and you immediately save money, that's a nice, easy, quick win. But it's also nice to then have all of the resources available to you so that you can immediately start to use some really powerful email marketing, and it's done for you. All you have to do is personalize it, right? So you take the templates, you make them yours in terms of your voice and your brand to your audience, and it's done, and that's it. And it's been also helpful for like creating lead magnets and resources and landing pages that are all done for you. I had somebody who said that she had taken, I think it was like 2 or 3 hours to create a challenge landing page prior to joining the collective. So her last challenge, it took her 2 to 3 hours to create a landing page. When she joined and then is running another challenge, she said it took her about 30 minutes. And the challenge or landing page that she created through the collective was much better in terms of just how it looked, the aesthetic, and then also like all of the copy and everything like that. So my point to all of this is that when a coach joins the collective is now my marketing. The fulfillment, the customer support. If you're in there, you know that I am around the clock answering messages and Telegram in our community chat. I'm on top of it. Like, unless I'm asleep, I'm basically responding to everything right away. And you can see that. And then we have 24/7 customer support. So if there's like any sort of technical stuff that needs to be handled around the clock, literally it could be 2 a.m., 3 a.m., it doesn't matter. We have customer support ready to help. You can get on Zoom with our customer team. They'll film Loom videos, like literally walk you through step by step, because that's now our marketing, right? And it's way more effective to have a high degree of retention than it is to always be focusing on acquisition. And I'm so surprised that this needs to be said, but it's abundantly clear, because I'll tell you what happens. Here's an example. So just to like close the loop on this for my own example, since launching the collective, there has not been a single day so far that new people haven't signed up. I'm not spending money on ads. I was away in Vegas. Like, I have not been on like here working, doing front end acquisition. Everything has been word of mouth and referrals. And every single day there have been multiple people joining, because the product is now doing the marketing, the fulfillment, the customer support, seeing the power of what, you know, what they have access to, like coaches getting in there and seeing, oh my God, I have all of this stuff at my fingertips. Now I just have to use it. And oh, if I don't know how to use it, guess what? I can jump on customer support in literally seconds and get a step-by-step walkthrough. Or I can, if I'm looking for some strategy help, I can jump on Telegram and I can have Mike answering my question and giving me insight into how to best utilize these resources. Like, now the product is the marketing. So it's actually helping retention, and it's also helping acquisition, because the product is now the marketing. Once they join, it's the fulfillment, it's the product, it's the support. So on the flip side of that, there's two experiences that stood out to me. One I'll share that I don't have like firsthand insight into, but it was just something that somebody mentioned. So there was a product that was rolled out. I'm not going to mention names here. That's not the point. I don't want to give attention to somebody unnecessarily in a negative way, but I think it's important that you see the contrast here. Okay, so there was a product or a program that was sold several months ago for business coaching. Okay. So it was a, I think the way that the acquisition happened was there was a big, training that was done, a big like free workshop. And, it was like, several days. And this was, again, this was several months ago. So it was a few days of trainings, workshops, whatever you want to call it. And then there was an offer on the last day. And after that offer, there was, you know, let's call it 40 people that are enrolled in this business coaching program. Then the marketing is now the service, right? So they enrolled in business coaching. And apparently it wasn't very good. And apparently the coaches that were delivering the product and delivering the service were very apologetic. Like, this is not how we envisioned this going. This is not what we expected. Like, a lot of people were struggling and not getting what they wanted. And there were several refund requests that were happening. So apparently a lot of the refunds were being fulfilled. But then there were some people that were asking for refunds that were getting denied. And the coaches are communicating with each other because they're in a cohort together. So they're like, well, why did, you know, Jimmy get a refund, but I'm not getting one? And the answers were just like, oh, we stopped doing refunds. That's an example of where you've basically taken your fulfillment / marketing, because now once they've paid you, now the product is your marketing. And you've now destroyed your reputation. And it's really unfortunate, because that's your marketing at that point. So like, retention, not only are you losing retention, but you're also losing acquisition, because nobody's going to talk about it. And here's the thing. Poor experiences happen. Mistakes happen. I can assure you that I will probably screw something up in the next, I don't know, probably this week. It's not about that. It's about how you handle it, and handling it consistently across the board. Like, think about when you go out to a restaurant and some, you know, they screw up your order. Like, it's frustrating, but shit happens. Like, okay, so they overcooked your burger. It's not a big deal. It's a big deal when they handle it poorly. It's a big deal when they're like, oh, okay, like, I'll take it back, right? Like, that's a big deal. And you feel like a burden. You're like, well, I didn't screw this up. And you feel like a burden. However, on the flip side, when they're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, that's definitely overcooked, I'm going to take that right back, don't worry, we're not going to make you pay for it, this is going to be comped, can I get you, you know, a free drink on the house? All of a sudden, you're like, this is amazing. And you would tell people about, like, that experience is going to be more memorable than just like an average run of the mill, nothing blew me away, but nothing went wrong. But when somebody handles a negative situation and they completely turn it around, that is memorable. And you're going to share that experience. So my point is, it's not about the mistake. It's not about the poor delivery. It's not about the service not being up to par. It's about how you handle it and being inconsistent and making some people feel like, well, I don't get what this person, okay. So it just creates this poor reputation of, now the coaches are communicating and being like, well, it was handled this way for me, but it wasn't handled this way for me. And then they're all like, that kind of sucks. Another example is a program, service, whatever you want to call it, product, where individuals were trying to move from one service to another. And the owners of that product were basically saying, like, you can't do that. And they were trying to claim that, like, it wasn't possible. They couldn't help with that transition. Then all of a sudden, they completely switched and said, yes, you can do it, but we have to charge you for it now. And oh, by the way, it was in your contract. And now all the coaches who are in that product are like, well, either you're lying about one thing or the other. Like you can't have it both. You can't first say it's not possible and then change the story and say, oh, just kidding, it is possible, but there's a fee. Like, that comes across as really shady. And it is shady and it's very misleading. And I have, you know, coaches who I know personally who are coming to me like, what the fuck are they doing? And the answer is they're delivering really poor customer service. That's their marketing. So if when somebody's in the door and you have them as a client, even when they're trying to leave, that experience is still part of your marketing. So I've had people who have, you know, joined my private coaching, who have left private coaching. I've had, you know, people who have canceled nutrition coaching. The intent, and again, I'm not perfect, so I make mistakes too, but the intent is to have a really positive transition. If somebody wants to leave the collective, I will make that experience as seamless as I possibly can for that person, because guess what? They might come back. I'm not going to charge them. I'm not going to tell them it's not possible. I'm not going to handcuff them. I'm going to try to make that experience as easy as possible, because that's my marketing at that point. They've already paid me. They've already joined. Now they want to leave. Okay, great. Let's make that a positive experience. I've had a handful of coaches who have left private coaching, and every single one of them is like, I can't wait to come back. Now, are they definitely going to come back? I don't know. Maybe some will, maybe some won't, maybe none of them will. That's not the point. The point is, let's leave on a high note, right? Like, let's leave on a high note where it's like, man, they really handled that well. That was a great experience. And it's just shocking to me that we like ignore the fact that when they're in the program, your product and your service and your customer support and the experience is your marketing. And it, from a business perspective, you will be more successful if you have a better retention rate. So why are we ignoring that? And when somebody leaves and they want to come back, it's because you delivered a great experience. It's because when they left, you didn't try to manipulate them and you didn't try to pressure them and you didn't, you know, try to pull out some like, you know, changing story or narrative where somebody got one experience and then the next person got a different experience, or you said one thing and then you changed the narrative and all of a sudden you seem, you know, like untrustworthy. So it's just shitty. And it's like basics, right? That's like, we're talking about protein and walking right now. This is basics. So let's not lose sight of that. The second thing that I wanted to talk about, there were several coaches that came up to discuss, like they're brand new coaches, not even coaching yet. Like, I'm doing this other job. I'm really passionate about coaching. I'm really passionate about health and fitness. And they were at the summit just trying to learn and educate themselves. And you know, I'm talking like haven't even gotten certified or anything like that. Like no coursework, no certifications, nothing. And what was interesting is when I talked to them about like, they're like, oh yeah, I'm still searching for like different, like where, what avenue do I want to go? A lot of them were talking about several different certifications that they needed, quote unquote needed. And it was like, well, I've got to find the nutrition certification, and then I've got to find the training certification, and then I've got to find the specialty certification. And I had this conversation a couple of times and I was like, or, or you don't need any of those things except one, right? And my point here is that it's very common as a coach or practitioner or business owner to feel like you have to solve every single problem, but you don't. Trying to solve every single problem is actually a problem. And this happens with business coaches a lot. It also happens with nutrition coaches, but like business coaches will be like, I have this specialty that I'm really good at, But I also know that my clients are going to need help with sales, and they're going to need help with social, and they're going to need help with whatever. Like, let's just say your specialty is, I don't know, conversations. Like, you're like a setting or like call booking specialist, right? So you're like, I'm so good at getting people to start and engage in conversations in the DMs, and like, I'm a call booking wizard. You're like, I'm going to teach coaches how to get more calls booked in the DMs. Now, because you're getting calls booked, you're like, but they also need to learn how to close those calls. So I also need to teach them how sales too. But you don't. Like, you can literally be the call booking specialist, then that's it. And the other skills are things that would make them more successful. So you could actually have a requirement that says, in order to be the best fit for this program, you have to be closing more than 40% of your calls. Oh my God, how much better would that be? Because now you actually have a specialty. You're a specialist. You're no longer a generalist. You're no longer, oh, I'm going to help you with all of these things. Now, if you happen to have a skill set, but like, true mastery of a skill, I think sometimes we overlook just what that takes. Okay. So if you notice, when I talk about skill sets that I have, I'm basically talking about messaging. That's like the one thing. You want to master your messaging? That's the one thing. Now, I definitely use the vehicle of email, but messaging applies across the board. But you notice I don't share the fact that, like, you know, your messaging is gonna help your whatever. Like, I don't try to spread myself too thin. Like, my wheelhouse is mastering your messaging so that you attract your dream fit clients, your perfect fit clients, through your words. Now, I happen to use the vehicle of email marketing because that's my preferred vehicle. But I could very easily have chosen to talk about that through the lens of social or anything else. But I have my lane, and I stay in my lane. I've never told anybody that I'm going to take them from a 50% close rate to a 90% close rate. Does mastering your messaging help your sales? Of course. You're getting pre-sold leads, but that's not my wheelhouse. I'm not a sales guru. I'm not going to tell you how to handle objections. I'm not going to tell you how to close, you know, here's your sales script or this, that, and the other. No, because my wheelhouse is mastering your messaging. It's creating instantly resonant content, messaging, hitting the bullseye with your messaging so that you attract your ideal clients, your dream fit clients, predictably and repeatedly. Your message, okay? A lot of coaches think, well, I need this cert and I need this cert. And, oh, well, what if they come in for nutrition, but they also need training? They also need programming. Well, guess what? That doesn't have to be your thing. You can. It just doesn't have to be. My point is, you can be a specialist that says, I am really fucking good at helping you overcome emotional eating so that you can lose weight and keep it off and no longer self-sabotage with emotional eating or stress eating or binge eating or whatever. That can be your specialty. And when they say, oh, do you offer programming? You say, no. Or you can say, if you're looking for programming help, I have a referral. Or you can say, the best fit client for this program is somebody who is also doing a training program that they like. You're either going to the gym or you're doing a group class or you have some training in place, an exercise routine in place. The best fit client for this program already has that in place. So much better. So much better. You don't have to be everything to everyone. You don't have to add more things. You don't have to just say, well, what are all the areas, right? Well, so-and-so helps people with gut health. So now I need a gut health. I got to take this other functional certification. And oh, this, you know, some of my clients are in perimenopause and menopause. So now I have to become an expert in that. Oh, and some of them have autoimmune conditions. So now I have to become an expert in that. You're not going to be an expert in all of those things. It's damn near impossible. What you want to know is your specialty. And you want to zero in on that. That's it. You don't have to. And this was a conversation that I had a number of times. It's like, what's the thing though? Like, what's the one thing? Because you don't want to spread, you don't want to be the generalist who's like, I kind of do everything. There's not really a high value placed on that. The specialist who's like, I do this thing and I do this thing better than anybody else. That's the value. For me, to work with me one-on-one, it's expensive. Because I help you master your messaging better than anybody else. So for me to work with you in a one-on-one setting where we are writing together and I'm writing some of your stuff and I'm reviewing all of your stuff and writing some of your pages and all of that, and dialing in your messaging and putting together your entire messaging, you know, frameworks and all the stuff that you do, and being able to articulate your message to your audience, to articulate your offer to your audience, and then to put that all together so that you attract leads consistently who are the best fit clients who will get the best results from your program. It's expensive. That's why I have a very, very small roster of one-on-one clients. And mainly, I work with my private group, and I work with the people in my course, and I work with the people in the collective. So it's more of a group style. Then there's the select few who want the one-on-one attention, the ones that can afford it, and the ones that see the value in that skill set. That's my wheelhouse. That's what I do better than anybody else. I'm not sitting here pitching, I'm going to help you grow your Instagram account, and I'm going to help you, set more calls. I'm going to help you close more sales. I'm going to help you overcome objections on calls. I'm going to help you grow your Facebook community. No, we're going to master your fucking message. Now, is there advantages to that in social? And in sales and in call bookings, of course. So when you master your messaging and you create content that is instantly resonant with your dream clients, like you're speaking to the heart of your dream client, of course they're going to book more calls. Of course they're going to close more easily, but that's not what I'm selling. That's not how I'm positioned. That's not at all what I'm selling. I'm selling messaging. Hopefully that makes sense. So I don't have to add more things. I don't have to go out and become a sales guru and start teaching you how to close more sales. Hopefully that makes sense. Same thing with nutrition. You don't have to add more things. Like, focus on the thing that you want to master and be the trusted expert in that thing. And here's the irony of that is most coaches can't narrow that down, which is where messaging comes into play. It's a full circle. All right. So to piggyback off of that, the third thing that I wanted to discuss is attracting clients that are coachable. Attracting clients that are coachable. And this was another thing that was inspired by my days at the Real Coaches Summit. So thank you all for providing me with content to discuss on here. The topic came up of non-compliance. What do you do with clients who are not compliant? And I think before we go into the little hacks and tips and tricks of delivering, you know, of getting compliance, of non-compliant clients or non-coachable clients, however you want to phrase it, I think it's important to assess, where did these people come from? Where did those clients come from? Because I can tell you, there's probably a direct correlation and connection between the non-coachable clients and how they were enrolled in your program. It's actually really simple. When you want to attract coachable clients who follow through and do the work, once you get crystal clear on what you offer, who you help, the methods you use, and exactly what is involved in achieving a transformation through your program, you will begin to attract coachable clients way more consistently. Again, this is not to say that we're going to bat 1,000, but it makes a massive difference. And I can look back and you can look back. If you have any track record, you know, you've been coaching for a while, look back at your past clients. I can easily look back at past clients that struggled through our coaching program, and I can see the connection when I was doing the vague marketing bullshit where we don't really tell people what we're doing. We just kind of dangle this outcome and we make it sound really amazing. And you're going to look so good in this two-piece bikini, and you're going to feel so good when you have all this energy, and you're going to look in the mirror and you're going to love your body. But they don't know how. They have no idea how it's going to happen. They're just really into that result. Like, yeah, it sounds great. I'll never forget when I signed up for this fucking sales program. And it pisses me off that I made this mistake, because now I know better. Like, once you see inside the matrix, you can't unsee it. But this guy literally had a Google Doc open, and he had my current revenue written out, and he asked me where I wanted to get revenue wise. And he just kept highlighting the two numbers. And he'd be like, you're here and you want to get here. Like, how are you going to do that? And I'm like, I don't know. And he's like, exactly. That's why you need this. But he never told me how we were going to do it. But every time I had a question, every single time, I was like, but how? Or how does it work? Or how do I, like, he would just circle back and he'd be like, you're here. And like, yeah, he's like, and you want to get here, but you don't know how. And I'm like, right. And he's like, that's what we're going to do. Like, that's not an answer. That's not a fucking answer. And he would do it over and over again until I paid $24,000 and I didn't close the gap, because he didn't tell me how we were going to close the gap. And everything that they taught me on how to close the gap was just dig the pain, make people feel like shit and they'll join your program, which is exactly what he did to me. He made me feel like shit because I didn't know how to bridge the gap. I didn't know how to go from my current revenue to the revenue that I wanted. And he just kept pounding it. And yes, guess what? I enrolled. It worked. Congratulations. You got my money. But you know what didn't work is I didn't stay in the program. I didn't like the program. I didn't align with the program. So I was the quote unquote non-compliant client, even though I fucking tried. I tried all that bullshit, but it's like, what are you going to do when it just doesn't align? What are you going to do when it violates your freaking moral compass? So look back. And then, doing the vague marketing like that, of course these people were struggling when I enrolled them. They didn't know what they were getting. Now, currently, we very rarely have a non-coachable client. And when it does happen, it's always on me, because sometimes I ignore my better judgment through the vetting process. And I'll have this, I'll know in my heart of hearts, like, I want to believe in people. And then sometimes I'm like, maybe this person can change and be a good fit. But when we have a non-coachable client, which is rare, it's because I ignore my better judgment through the vetting process. And the turnaround of how this all came to be is super easy. It's just, can you clearly articulate your methods and give away all of the steps, frameworks, and concepts in your marketing, which will empower your clients before they ever begin the process? Because they understand it, they feel aligned with it, and they see how it's different than what they've tried in the past. And oftentimes, they're just excited. Of course, there's going to be some nerves, but they're excited to implement. And here's a simple litmus test. Think about these two client examples. Client number one, They know exactly what they're getting when they enroll with you. They know exactly how it works when they enroll with you. And they know that it is 1,000% for them. Or client number two. Client number two saw the promise of an amazing outcome, but they have no idea how it's going to work or how they're going to make it happen. Now, which client is more likely, higher probability of success? Obviously, it's client number one. That's going to be the coachable, compliant client, which means all you need to do as a coach is you need to work on being more specific and intentional in your marketing efforts if you want to attract better clients, right? What that means is you need to know exactly who it's for. You need to articulate exactly how it works. You need to articulate exactly what problems you solve. It needs to be evident that those solutions are different than what your clients have tried in the past. They need to know the expected outcomes. They need to know how long it's going to take to achieve those expected outcomes. They need to have an idea of what the investment is going to look like. Yes, that's right. They need to have an idea of what the investment's going to look like. All that information should be delivered consistently, repeatedly ahead of time so that when they enroll, they know it's for them. They know how it works. They have expectations set. They know what the process is going to look like. They know what skills they need to bring to the table. Right? Do they need to have a routine in place on the training side of things? Do they need to have some base level understanding of nutrition? Do they need to be willing to track macros? Right? What do they need to bring to the table? All of that is communicated ahead of time. If you do that, the whole non-compliant thing is kind of irrelevant. Now, there are absolutely things that you can develop as a coach to help with compliance. I'm not saying that that part is just like, well, I don't even have to develop that skill set. I'm saying that a lot of it is done for you when you market this way, when you clearly articulate what you do, who it's for, how it works, all that stuff. Like, can you really be a trusted expert? Can you really be a trusted expert if you get results, but you don't know how to articulate what you do and how you do it to get those results? My opinion is no. My opinion is you have to be able to not only deliver the results, but you have to be able to deliver the message and to articulate how you do it, who it's for, how, like all the things that you need to be able to communicate and articulate. That makes you a true trusted expert, where people know, not only did you tell me what I was getting ahead of time, but you actually delivered it. That's trust. Not only did you tell me what I was getting ahead of time, but you actually delivered it. That is trust. And it just so happens to be what I teach, not only in my course, not only in my group, but also in the collective. And the collective is the easiest way to have all of this stuff laid out for you. So it's kind of just plug and play, right? You don't have to do a lot of the heavy lifting. I've done that for you. So it's plug and play. Now I'm going to, as it's plug and play, I'm also going to educate through the process. So that way you understand the psychology behind what you're doing. That way you understand how this works. So you can start to master that skill set and improve it. But it's done for you because it's already been proven. So we take a proven process that has already been shown to work across many different audiences, which is the beauty of working with somebody who's still in the trenches like myself. I still have my nutrition coaching business. That's still up, you know, doing very well. So it's not just my audience though. It's taking the concepts that I've tested on my audience that I've then tested on many other audiences so that I know that the frameworks and the concepts work. I know that the belief shifting framework works. I know that storytelling works. I know how to present offers so that they convert and that they give your audience exactly what they need to have a high degree of certainty in working with you. I know how to weave that into your messaging and positioning. So I've done all of that for you. And the collective allows you to take it and plug and play. And then I give you the whole CRM so that you have the software to match, so that you don't have to spend a bunch of money on, you know, emails and text and forms and calendars and all of this other stuff and courses. And it can be all under one roof, which makes it really easy to track and monitor. You can track leads in there. You can track social content in there. You can track your emails and texts and everything in one place. Your landing pages, your resources and lead magnets, everything is in there. If you need automations and sequences, it's all in there. Everything is in there. It's $97 a month. It will likely save you money immediately. If you add up all of those little fees that you're paying, right, for an email pro, you know, email software, for Calendly, DocuSign, courses, whatever else you're paying for, and we just take all of those expenses away and you just have the $97 a month, you're going to save some money. Plus, it's going to make you money and it's going to save you time. And it's going to be a forcing function because it's going to get you to send emails. An email is the number one revenue driver for most businesses. So study done 2023, most businesses reported email as their number one revenue driver. And it was funny because I was talking to Joe Sheehy of Cured at the event. He said email is by far, it's not even close. Email is by far their number one revenue driver. I was talking to Dr. Mike T. Nelson, who is a super smart individual, like one of the smartest humans that I know. And he said that email is by far his number one revenue driver. And he said that even in his certification, he has a certification called the MetFlex, Metabolic Flexibility Certification, which if you're a coach and you want to learn from somebody who's like truly brilliant, I highly recommend you check him out. He said that as part of that curriculum, he teaches coaches like at least one email a week. And I was like, this is music to my ears. And he's like, so many nutrition coaches are resistant to email. And I'm like, you're preaching to the choir. I don't understand it. Like it's all the data is there. The evidence is there. And yet we, as coaches, we just ignore it. Like what? That's like, well, all the studies on, you know, protein and lifting weights are there, but like, we don't really need to do that, do we? We could just do cardio instead, right? Cardio and no protein. Like, why is there this resistance? I don't know. But anyway, it was the people that are successful that I promise you, take any person that you look up to that has some level of success that you admire. I promise you, they are using email. So all that done for you in the collective, $97 a month. Just go to 5minuteemails.com if you want to enroll. Five is spelled out. So it's F-I-V-E in case you need to know how to spell it. 5minuteemails.com. And that's where you can enroll. And hopefully I will see you on the inside. Hopefully this was helpful. And again, thank you to everyone who said hello at the event. I appreciate you more than you know. And hopefully I'll see you at the next one. And I will talk to you guys soon.